Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We've read all the books, we've bought all the courses, we've tried all the tactics, all in search of the elusive secret to growth and scaling. And so now let's take a different path. It's not risk-free, it's not guaranteed, but when you do it correctly, it produces one winner after another. Today, we're going to learn how to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ. If you're a busy executive who's getting pulled in too many directions and you wish you could get those lower level tasks off your plate, we recruit, place, and train a virtual assistant into your business in as little as 7 days, and we'll even manage them for you on a daily basis so you can stay focused on what you do best. To learn more about how you can get your time back and save up to 70% versus hiring locally, go to VAIQ.net. That's VAIQ. .net. Today's guest is Lane Kawaoka, and Lane is the founder of the Wealth Elevator, helping first-generation millionaires build passive income and reduce taxes through private real estate and alternative investments. Lane, welcome to the show. What is one thing you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
I think this has been a common theme since I started investing in rental properties is I underwrite it, put it in a spreadsheet. Of course, you never know what's going to happen once the bell starts and rings, but if it makes sense as a business, I move forward and kind of keep making progress.
Yeah, excellent. And so when you're looking into to rentals, kind of penciling it out, doing that initial assessment, what are some of the first things that you're really looking for?
Yeah, so first thing first, rent to value ratio. This is before you put it into the spreadsheet. You take the monthly rents divided by the purchase price, and you're looking for something that's about 1% or higher. So, a lot of places that I would buy properties at would be $1,000 a month rent divided by $100,000. That's 1%. That's good. Let's move forward on the next step, right? But I think a lot of my investors, they may live in high price areas like Seattle or Hawaii or California, where you're looking for a place in the ghetto for 400 grand that barely rents for $2,000, right? 2,000 divided by 400 grand is 0.5%. No bueno. That doesn't work. So I think that's the first indicator. And then you kind of put it into the spreadsheet, do your full income and all of the line item of all the expenses you have. And then you're still making money after a little bit of buffer, you move ahead.
Yeah, makes sense. And I've actually spent a lot of time in multifamily over the years, and kind of cut my teeth on real estate investing and kind of syndications. And so I have some familiarity, but obviously you are probably the expert in the room on this. What have you seen over the last couple of years? The market for real estate has shifted dramatically. Where do you see the opportunities right now?
Yeah, I mean, real estate in the commercial side, which is what we do, we buy apartments. Prices have gone down 20 to 30% off the peak. What we now know is about 2021 to 2023, somewhere in there. So it's kind of a great time to get involved, but this is when fear is the greatest, right? Which is that indicator when it's time to buy. I would probably say there's still a lot of trade winds though, right? You're buying it at a much better basis, but your holding costs are a lot higher. Your taxes, insurance is double, triple than what it was 5, 6 years ago. And your debt service obviously is a lot higher now too. So I think this was also echoed by Howard Marks. Real estate is in a different era than what it was from 2010 to 2020, which was interest pretty much 0% interest rate back then. So I think it kind of puts a much more of a demand on finding alpha. What is that the deal that's going to transcend? And it may even be outside of the world of real estate, buying businesses, private equity.
And it's interesting, this kind of this ebb and flow, and yeah, it's a great time to buy based on some metrics, but it's also a lot more expensive. It's like it's cheaper, but it's more expensive. It's hard to really gauge what's a good deal or not anymore.
I mean, right now is kind of the time to do it, right? I mean, when there's uncertainties, right? But when there's uncertainties, that's when the prices are lower and there's less buyers. Whereas in 2021, where you coming off a year or two of just skyrocketing rents, All signs point to yes, but that is absolutely the worst time to invest, right? You cannot predict market cycles, market peaks or bottoms, but when I think it's always one or the other. You can never have all the signs pointing to green, and vice versa, and it's always like a dynamic. If not, everybody would have a crystal ball.
I remember I'm not heavily involved in multifamily now, but I was during that big up push. And it was fascinating because it was you just look around and you're like, I am a god. I can't make a wrong decision. But it was mostly just the momentum of the market going with you. And when that market started turning, people realized you started seeing the flaws very quickly that, you weren't on top of your game, you weren't underwriting careful enough, you weren't managing the property with enough scrutiny, and things started crashing down. Talk to us a little bit about what are you focusing on now, and where are you taking your investments?
I mean, with the multifamily side, the buying and renovating, putting $5,000 to $10,000 into a renovated unit and getting $200 bump increases, that is getting harder and harder to find. And because you're going to have to deal with the higher holding costs in the interim. No different than a guy, buying a little rental property. Used to be you could buy it for $100,000 that would rent for $1,000. Now that same property may be $140,000. So your mortgage, your holding costs are higher, obviously, today. So we've kind of been had to expand what we look at. So, even other commercial assets, office conversions, things like that. But basically you're trying to find an undervalued property, something that you buy for $250 a square foot that is really worth $500 a square foot today, right? Those are clear opportunities where you're buying value from the start. Sometimes you have to do a little bit of value add to it, whether it's renovations or conversions to it. But, I think that's where just whether you're buying a business, piece of real estate, it's what, you're buying something where there's undervalued from the beginning. And sometimes the circumstances creates that, right? There's a lot of fear in the market today. But I think you need to have the mindset of thinking, well, that fear is pushing out all the tepid investors, and all those tepid investors are the ones that push up and create a bubble and ultimately creates the prices way higher and making it hard for you to underwrite it.
I wanted to ask you about this, and this is a trend that I've noticed, and I've seen it in a couple of different ways. Like there's about 5 minutes from my house, there's this bar that's been there for decades, and it's got this huge patio and back door or backyard and everything. And recently they put a coffee shop in the bar so that it could operate from basically 7 a.m. to about 5 p.m. when the bar people start showing up. The other thing that I saw is recently in a strip center, there was a like a Jamba Juice and a Auntie Anne's pretzels place, and they combined to rent the same space and both operate in the same place. And so I've seen several different examples of, especially commercial space, where they're trying to find ways to basically maximize their income because the rents are so high and the real estate's so expensive. I'm just curious, have you seen any kind of trends like that in different ways that people who are using this real estate are trying to cope with the fact that the prices are kind of outpacing the value they can extract from it?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially getting more bang out of your buck, right? And yeah, with holding costs going up in taxes, insurance, like I mentioned, you're going to have to extract much more revenue from it. And it also kind of parlays on the whole saying, like, what got you here isn't going to get you where you want to be. And you can see that in so many ways. But yeah, I think from like our perspective, I mean, we do developments too. I mean, that's like you got a piece of land that's not doing jack, build something on it and sell it, right? Like I think that's in a purest form, it's the same thing. But we've done some short-term rentals in some of the apartments, right? Obviously, it comes with a lot more management, but you can extract more income from it. But basically, it's just like taking a look at, yeah, you've kind of done it all this way, all this time, but how can you extract more, juice from the lemon? In a way, is this exercise, and you've always got to constantly look at it. I think like what we've done, like another example, we had an office, we bought an office property, that had some apartments in it, and then we sold off the individual units, right? That was kind of the value add there. So it's just taking a certain property and converting it over. That said, you got to get over, in real estate, a lot of times you have to get over jurisdictional restrictions and get permitting and things like that. But it's not easy, but sometimes when it's not easy, it's good, right? That's your barrier to entry, that's your moat.
Right. Yeah. If you're willing to take that risk and go the extra mile, that's where the gains are typically found. And so, one quick qu last question here: where do you see the market going? Obviously, I don't want to give you no crystal ball or anything like that. But in your opinion, where's the smart place for us to go and put our money over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a commercial real estate point of view, there's a strong demand for workforce housing apartments, which we like to focus in on because the rich are getting richer and the poor middle class are getting more abundant. Certainly, population in those rungs are increasing. So, the long-term demand is stronger. I think in the short term, there's been a lot of new supply hitting the market, right? Like everybody and their mother was buying apartments, so were we. Or they're building new apartments from 2020 to 2023 to about 2024. Now, a lot of those, the tail end of that supply is hitting the market today, which is what's creating a lot of new supply in the market. And at the end of the day, what rental prices are and ultimately commercial prices are is a big part of it is its supply and demand. So if you have all this new inventory flooding the market, that's what's going to create this drag on prices. So what we do not know is probably after we've already kind of seen it that the new starts have stopped pretty much, and you kind of get into this effect where it's bipolar, right? You build a boatload and you don't do anything. We're in kind of that stage right now, so we know for a fact and pretty confident because we can see the numbers on this. In 2, 3, 4 years, there's going to be no new inventory hitting the market, and that's what's going to create that increase of pricing. Additionally, with tariffs and interest rates coming down, that's going to create more inflation, obviously, and that's what inflates prices too. So long term, things look good. I think in the short term, we're still kind of rocky, but this is the time when you set your basis, right? Because when things look really great, probably in the next year or two, the prices are going to kind of run away from people. I mean, it's think about it like, with residential real estate, which is totally different, where were you in 2010? Were you just sitting on your butt? Were you that guy in 2015 being like, oh, should have been like the guy buying in 2011 and 12? Most people are those people.
No, I understand. And so where can we go to learn more and connect with you?
Yeah, they can check out my book on Amazon, The Wealth Elevator. I kind of take them through the different stages of the wealth building journey as I did. First floor is buying little rental properties as a non-accredited investor. But as I started to learn and started to interact with other accredited investors, you start to move to more passive investments in larger syndication deals, value add properties, better tax strategies with cost segregations there. So I kind of take them up and take them to the next floor. Not going to give away the whole book. There's the next floor, third floor, penthouse later. It'll be all in the book.
Very well. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Lane Kowalka, for coming on and sharing a little bit of his wisdom. For those of you who want to connect directly and learn more, you can grab his book called The Wealth Elevator. And once again, if you're a busy entrepreneur who needs to get out of the weeds, we'll place a professional virtual assistant in as little as 7 days. You can learn more at vaiq.net. Until next time, remember this: if you want to win, you got to push your chips in. It's time to leverage everything.